RxMuscle.com brings you After Hours featuring the Whack Pack.
I fucked up. When the big boss is away, JTP comes out to play.
What do we do?
We get ready.
This is After Hours, exclusively on RxMuscle.com, featuring Jimmy Palecia, Pete the Intern, and your host, Jeff the Producer.
Welcome to another episode of After Hours featuring the Whack Pack. This is Jeff the Producer. I'm joined by Pete the Intern, as always. We will be having Jimmy the Bull on shortly, but he's apparently working 24-hour days. Believe it or not, we are doing the show a little bit later than usual for the simple reason that I was trying to get Jimmy the Bull to join us, Pete, but, you know, it seems that he's MIA, and what I've discovered is that, once again, he's overworked.
Yeah, we've been trying to get in contact with Jimmy, and I guess, you know, unfortunately, we got to start the show without him. But, yeah, it works really making it hard to get in touch with him.
And not only that, but, you know, we have to start the show without him, and you have somewhere to be now since we waited so long to try to figure out where the hell Jimmy was. So since I got to cut this short with you, you know, we only got about 10 to 12 minutes. So I'm going to give you the floor, and I'm going to ask you, of course, the obvious question. What the hell are you doing tonight that's going to pull you away from this radio show?
Well, I'm going out to see my friend out in Jersey, and whose name I'm not going to disclose on the radio for a variety of reasons. But
is he a CIA agent or something?
No, it's a female friend. But
Really?
Yeah.
Time out. Wait, whoa, back up. So is this a date or is this?
Yes, it's a date.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but I was supposed to be out there at 9 o'clock originally, so since we weren't going to start the show till around 9, I started to push it back, and I said, you know what, I'll probably make it there by 9:45. So
look at this guy. Bros before hoes. I love it.
So I pushed it back for the show, you know, but, you know, we started even later than what I anticipated this for the second time. So we'll try and get as much done as we can before I got to get out of here.
Yeah, and like, again, you know, this is not a knock to Jimmy, because recently, and this is true about all construction work and all work where you're driving a truck and everything else like that, as the summer months come along, you know, this is when the drivers are getting a lot more work. And this is also when other people are going on vacation. And when you have a union job like Jimmy does, you know, he's called at all types of hours. I mean, as a matter of fact, when we were just doing the show alone, you know, it was just us three, Pete, when we were in the studio, and, you know, Jimmy was actually checking his phone, not because he was sending out messages to any of his ex-girlfriends or ex-wives or current girlfriends, but because he was getting called literally by his union. So, you know, this is not a BS excuse as to why he's not here, but, you know, this is interesting. So basically you have this date with this girl in Jersey, and you basically told her, look, I can't make it because I got something else to do. We're going to have to push it back a little later.
Yeah. The original plan was 9 o'clock, and I told her, listen, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it out at 9 o'clock. I could probably make it.
Wow.
9:45. You know, so
I love it.
I tried to get the radio show in. You know, I didn't want to skip out on a radio show.
Right. So let me ask you, the reason why you're not disclosing her name is because she is a well-known celebrity? Is she wanted by the police? Like, why? How come you're not identifying her?
It's nothing like that. I just don't want to disclose any information. Eventually, maybe, you know, next show, maybe I'll let you know. But
really?
for now, we'll keep it, you know.
This is very compelling.
But. Yeah.
So. All right. But like, it's not because that she's, you know, a wanted person or like a married woman, right?
It's nothing like that. I just don't want to put it out there yet.
Right. But she's single.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
It's not for that reason either. It's just a matter of I don't want to disclose her name for that.
But that's perfectly fine. It's just it's interesting because you'll tell the people where you're going, and you'll tell the people that it is a woman, but you're not going to disclose her name. Now this can work a variety of ways. You see, because if she eventually hears this show and everything works out to, I guess, your satisfaction, which I don't even know what that may be at this point, because I'm not even sure what the heck you're going to meet her for. But let's just assume that you see her again in the next few weeks, and, you know, she catches wind of the show, and then, you know, she asks you the question. She's like, well, you know, were you embarrassed to say my name? Are you ashamed?
It's definitely not an embarrassing thing. Not at all. That's definitely not it. It's, you know, it's, I don't want to, you know how things get twisted around. You know, I'm saying I'm going to meet this girl in Jersey, you know, but, you know, if I start naming names, things get, you know, twisted around, you know, making it more than it is, you know.
Right.
So who knows what it's gonna be anyway. So
this is very interesting, and people will be asking questions. You realize this now, right?
Yeah, I know. Of course, people are always going to be asking questions, going to be talking either way. So I guess I may as well just put it all out there, but not tonight yet.
right. And you know, I'm going to put this out there again because I'm tired of hearing it. Ladies and gentlemen, this man, Pete the intern, okay, does not need any help by any coaches. And this is not a knock on Jeff Magic, and this is not in support of Jimmy DeBull's hatred of Jeff Magic, which I don't understand because I happen to like Jeff Magic as a person, as you know, Pete. You know, I think he's a very smart guy. We've even had him on Quantum Physiques, which is, you know, one of our other radio shows, to like actually discuss in depth his philosophies and how he approaches certain things in life, not just, you know, attracting women to break the ice and, you know, relationships, but, you know, he delved a little deeper with stuff. So it has nothing to, you know, to do with him. But what I'm going to say right now is true, is that Pete does not need any help by any other person on this planet to hook up with women. And I'm not saying this because I've seen him hook up with hundreds. I'm saying it because it's just not a problem for him. Okay? I mean, I've been in situations where it's very easy for him. And even if I force him to it, Pete, I know, you know, that, like I told you a couple of times, why don't you go after that girl? So, you know, and like, I'm not doing it because I want to see a demonstration. I'm like doing it because I think that the girl was already interested in you. You know, this is not like a Jeff Magic thing where, you know, hey, why don't we go to the stock store and go over and like slip your slip your hand in her pocket and see what she does. No. This is me just telling you go up to her, right?
Right. You just tell me, listen, I want you should talk to that guy. You know, I think that's she's into you. You know, go talk to her.
Right. So, and you know, whereas Jeff Magic would like have you go up to a group of three gay guys,
it's a totally different thing with him. It's like, okay, what's the most difficult situation, you know, for you to talk to this girl? Okay, that one's tough. Go do that one.
Right. And like, again, I can understand that, but you know, it's not because you need help, and you and I have had very good, intense, in-depth discussions about this stuff that hopefully one day you'll put out there, because I think people are going to be shocked by your insights into the whole relationship thing. And I find it fascinating. I think it's very accurate. It's very helpful. I've told you this before, and you know, it's just something that maybe eventually will come out. But I'm not going to push this issue any further other than to say that I was trying to reach Jimmy DeBull on Thursday, because by the way, it is Saturday now, okay? And we normally record on Thursday. And I was trying to reach him Thursday. Why? Because I wanted to invite him, as well as a couple of other people, including Pete the intern, to go watch The Dark Knight Rises, because I'm an absolute fanatic of the Batman, you know, the new Batman series, as well as the old one that came out in 89 with Jack Nicholson and all that stuff. But I was waiting a long time to see this movie. I didn't want to go and seem like a moron, crazed, you know, older person sitting by himself in like a movie theater surrounded by a bunch of kids. And, you know, it was just a little too weird for me to go alone. Okay. So I was trying to reach Jimmy. He never got back to me. So Friday, I tried again, and Jimmy doesn't get back to me. He told me his cell phone blew up. I don't know what happened. His car charger got lost, whatever it was. And then I said, you know what? Screw this. I am going to go. I had some other calls out to a couple of other people, and the only one who responded, of course, was Pete the intern. So finally, I dragged Pete out because, I, you know, like I said, I didn't want to sit there by myself and be like a fucking idiot, all right? So, Pete, I want you to tell the people what you thought of the movie, because I have my own reaction, and I want to hear it from you because I didn't really hear it after we saw it. So, what did you think of the movie?
Yeah, I'm not a huge, you know, I'm not huge on the Batman, like, I'm not a huge Batman fan, but I've, when I was a kid, you know, I was actually born in 89, but that's, I watched the Jack Nicholson ones, you know, when I was a kid. I liked those, and then I saw The Dark Knight, the last one that came out, and that one I thought was great. I, you know, the Joker made that movie, in my opinion, and I think this new one was even better, actually, which I feel that the character Bane just added a whole nother, you know, a whole nother level to how they've been taking these Batman films.
Yeah, and you see, the thing is that I didn't think that they were going to be able to top Heath Ledger you know, portraying the Joker, all right? Now, there was some rumors that, you know, the script was better, that, you know, the story was going to be incredible. And every time you hear that, usually what happens is, and especially when it comes to a third film, right? Because usually in the trilogies, you know, it's very rushed at the end, and they're like trying to end everything in, like, you know, in this certain epic, you know, way. And by the way, I hate that word epic, because I think it's been thrown around in so many misused ways in so many you know, for like the past five to 10 years, whether it comes to music or like TV shows or movies. But this movie, if the word epic should be applied to any movie, I'm sitting there, and I didn't even realize that like 3 hours passed, Pete. And
yeah, it didn't feel like a long movie at all. It was
so fast moving, and the action happens right away. Brutal action, by the way, which was unexpected. And you know, when like it finally got to the climax, it still went to the next level after that, and the ending was incredible. It was basically you're reading a comic book. And you're seeing it happen, and you know that, you know, there's no way that like this could possibly ever happen in the real world, but you're so sucked in and you're so engaged by it, it feels real. It feels like that you're actually experiencing it. And that's what I liked about the movie, that it actually felt like a real movie. You know, like, you know, something that could really happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what I found funny about it too was that I noticed throughout the movie from your reactions that there was a lot of scenes in there that you kind of picked up on little like little things that nobody else seemed to notice in the film. You know? Like, you knew the stuff they threw in there, the little references.
Yeah, there was one point where like I figured out the movie, and like, you know, I leaned over and I told you, I said, I figured it out. This is very early on when like I saw a certain thing happen, and then it was confirmed in a later scene, but I didn't say anything. And at the very end, I said, I got it. And you know, it's sort of, you know, like I like to prove things, you know. I don't like to talk shit and then say, hey, I know that's definitely gonna happen. I like to tell you, no, watch, this is it. And I didn't see the movie, you know, beforehand. I mean, it just came out, you know. I didn't read nothing. I didn't try to look for spoilers. Like, in the last couple of weeks, I avoided looking at any kind of trailers. And if you're a Batman fan and you read the comics, you're going to love the movie. If you're just a fan of action and like drama and, you know, just a very enjoyable movie experience, you got to watch this movie. So that's why I dragged you out. I figured that you'd like it. I liked it, and I'm going to go see it again. So it looks like a couple of people from the gym have already committed. I have a whole crew going next week, by the way, because I'm a sick person and I need to go see this again. And if Jay Emanuel was in the area, I'd invite him too, and I know that he would go because he's a huge Batman fan too. But anyway, it's coming around that time where it looks like you're giving me the signal that you gotta go. So I'm going to allow you to depart. We're going to go into our next segment, hopefully with Jimmy the Bull. Is there any final words you want to leave with the people before you go into your mystery date with the mystery woman who will not be disclosed at this time?
Sorry to cut it short because I gotta leave, but I guess if it all goes well, I could give an update next time. So,
well, hopefully we'll have some compelling information, because I hate cliffhangers. And by the way, The Dark Knight Rises did not have a cliffhanger, so this is bullshit. We have Pete the intern giving us one. Pete, I hope you have a great night in Jersey. This is After Hours. I'm Jeff the producer with Pete the intern. We'll be back in a minute.
This is After Hours with Jeff the producer. Myotropics Physique Nutrition is the most exciting supplement company to come along in decades. That's because Myotropics isn't just another company. It's the brainchild of iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Connolly, the inventor of the original body recomposition product that changed the industry and allowed millions of people to get in the best shape of their life. And CEO Vince Andrich, author of the groundbreaking Physique Athlete Guide. Myotropics' flagship product, Physique 2.0, contains their exclusive Meta Effects Amino CD protein compound that maximizes whole body protein economy, your personal linchpin for gaining and retaining the most muscle while also shedding maximum body fat. Plus, Physique 2.0 contains the world's first legitimate fat-burning carbohydrate, Meta Effects FAO-CHO, for full hard muscle and increased fat burn. If you live to develop the ultimate physique, go with Myotropics, real people that live to develop physique nutrition. Go to myotropics.com. It's your body. It's your art. Master it. Myotropics.com. E28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements. Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop, and also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Here we go. I'm gonna hit you in the backseat and tell you to slide. Pay my fault that my bras collide. Knock your girls off two at a time. Disrespect you will still make your mind.
Welcome back to After Hours featuring the Whack Pack. This is Jeff the producer. I'm your host tonight as Dave Palumbo and Sally Ann Taylor are the RX Muscle Travel Crew this weekend. They're over in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, covering the 2012 Masters Nationals. I should say Masters Teen and Collegiate Nationals, to be correct. A lot of competitors. We have the results up and coming right now on RXMuscle.com. I'm in the studio alone, okay, and I'm waiting for Jimmy the Bull to arrive. And until he gets here, I'm going to tell you a couple of the things that are going on with RxMuscle.com. Recently, Dave Palumbo and Pete the Intern were seen filming a brand new episode of My Life. And in this latest episode, which hopefully will be on the site in the next couple of weeks, Dave Palumbo decides to give a tour of his house as well as his brand new car. And as coincidence would have it, he finds me outside and cleaning my own car. I was getting done cleaning the car and finishing up the rims. And of course, he asks me to give an impromptu demonstration on how to clean his rims. So he got me to clean his rims on the video, which I guess was quite fascinating for him. He likes to see the technique that I use. Another part of that video, later on in the video, I should say, he finally makes the what I like to call the Palumbo protein pancakes. He actually calls them protein cookies. And he does this on video. A lot of people were asking about this originally back during the Muscular Development Forum days back in 2008 when he had first mentioned that during his time in college he would create this kind of cookie dough using protein, raisins, some rolled oats, and maybe flavor it with a little bit of stevia. And people were asking him, well, how do you cook it? You know, how long do you have to keep it in the oven? And what he said was, instead of giving all the full details on that, that he would just rather make it for people on video. Now, that was in 2008, so it took him about 5 years to make it, but finally he did do it on video. I was there. He made two batches. The first batch didn't really come out as planned, but that's fine because, in order for you to get perfection, you have to make a few mistakes. And the second batch was absolutely perfect. He was very creative. I think that he actually made it up on the spot. He was completely doing it from memory. He used a couple of scoops of isolize. He threw in some rolled oats, like I said. Instead of using raisins, he used this bag of something, which is literally called holy crap, okay? So, since Dave is on this brand new health kick, he wants to live to be 1,000, I guess. Maybe he'll show everyone his cryogenic chamber that he has in his room, which I'm not joking about, by the way. He does have a chamber in his room, which maybe he might disclose to people. But before we get to that part of his life, he put in this bag of this supplement called Holy Crap. And what it is I guess it's a bunch of fibrous nutrients and foods that will help you in your digestive process, shall we say. So that was in lieu of raisins, because he forgot to buy the raisins to make for his high protein cookies. But anyway, this is all captured on video, and he did do a good job. And finally, the last part of the brand new My Life with Dave Palumbo was him answering some very funny questions that were asked by regular people such as you, who came up to us at the Hartford, Connecticut show, where people just asked him a bunch of funny stuff and he answers it live. So, but anyway, that's that. Let's see what else is going on as we wait for Jimmy the Angry Bull Pelletier to give me a call, because he is driving home from work. I actually just got into a little conversation with Jimmy about what's going on. And let me tell you something, it's not just work that hasn't bummed out, but he has a lot of personal stuff going on, and hopefully he'll get into it. But before he does, I got to tell you about my experience that happened a few weeks back, right after the 2012 IFBB Europa Battle of Champions. Now, IFBB Pro Juan Morel is a very good friend of mine. He's been a friend of mine for years. I always knew that he was going to do extremely well in bodybuilding. And every year I just see him, just witness him get bigger and bigger and just blow past all these little the boundaries that he was, kind of experiencing in his life, and just really conquered everything. He built a tremendous amount of muscle. He turned pro, and of course, it all culminated with his victory recently in Connecticut. Taking the top slot at the 2012 IFBB Europa Battle of Champions, which was just amazing. So, I end up seeing him at the NPC Team Universe, and he invites me over to his house for a victory barbecue, let's say. So this was on the day after the Team Universe. So, I go to his house probably like 12 or 1 in the afternoon, and he's there with his beautiful now wife, Karen. So, him and Karen and, the rest of his family are putting together this feast that looks like it should have been put together for a few gladiators. And this is no exaggeration. The amount of food that was there, I mean, there must have been a few pounds of chicken, a few pounds of steak, burgers, just all types of food. I mean, he had platanos there, he had rice and beans. I mean, it was everything. It was the most amazing barbecue that I've ever been to. And this is not an exaggeration, okay? Lots of food. I probably gained about 15 pounds of muscle and another 5 pounds of fat. And one actually invited a lot of people who are IFBB pros here. I mean, I saw IFBB pro John De La Rosa. I saw a brand new IFBB Men's Physique pro William Sullivan. The P28 guys were there, which of course is William Sullivan. And, you know, I saw, who else was there? Oh, of course, IFBB pro Jillian Reville was there. And it was just, I mean, Akeem Williams, everyone that you can think of who's like a recent just superstar of bodybuilding was there. So it was really cool to be around all these great people. Now, at one point, okay, while I'm in the middle of eating, literally, this is about three steaks. I probably had about 6 or 7 hamburgers. And finally, what happens is the desserts slowly start to come out. Okay, now you know there's regular stuff that you would see there. There was a cake which I'd be remiss if I don't kind of bring this up. But apparently there was a cake there which was a picture of Juan Morell receiving the Europa Trophy. Okay, in Hartford, Connecticut, and on the cake, okay, was the actual picture of him receiving the trophy from Bob Ciccarello. Now, this was amazing to me because it looked perfect. It was just an amazing thing, and I took a picture of it. Now, I wanted to see if I could eat Bob Ciccarello's face, but apparently one of the IFBB pros got to that before I did. I'm not going to say who, but you know, Juan was eaten by, you know, I'm guessing his wife. I opted for the, you know, the lower left corner because that was the safest part. But it was just an amazing looking cake. There was ice cream there. There was all these great desserts. Now, There was one dessert that came out. Now, if you had a couple of starving dogs, okay, and they were kind of like scattered all throughout the street, and then you threw like a steak in the middle of the street, all the dogs would feast on the steak. Well, something was brought out onto the table. This is not an exaggeration. This is not me trying to pump it up more than what it is. But this is probably the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Now, a tray comes out, and you know, it gets lifted up, and the first person I see that kind of flocks over to it is John De La Rosa, and he's eating about 5 or 6 of these things. Then, you know, his dad has a few. Then I see Jillian eat a couple. Then, you know, I see Akeem, who wanted to have a few. He was salivating, but, you know, he's in the middle of a diet, so obviously he couldn't have any. Chris Villa came by. He had about 5 or 6 of these things, and there were these little, like, peanut butter kind of cookie cake type of things, okay? Now, the guy who's responsible for bringing this over, his name is Ray Coppinger. He's a bodybuilder. He's a good friend of Juan's. He's now a friend of mine. He actually won the novice overall at the 2012 NPC New York Steve Stone Metropolitans earlier this year. And his wife, Diana, who's also an NPC bikini competitor, who competed in the Team Universe, I think, brings over what I have called the Coppinger crack cakes, because these things are the most amazingly addictive desserts that you can ever have. And I'm an ice cream eater. Juan's an ice cream eater. There's like people out there who can pick it to, you know, a particular type of food and just feast on it and just scarf it down. These things have something in it, because once you have one, and I was already full. Like, I was full from having all the burgers. I was full from having the steaks. When you have one, you have to keep going. And I've never had crack before, but I'm sure that the effect would be very similar. And I actually took a picture of what was left of it before I got to it. Now, when I say that, you know, the guy comes in, you know, Ray, he like brought maybe like 2 or 3 huge pans. Like, you know, I really can't remember. But anyway, he puts them on the table. And like I said, all these people swarm to it. It must have been 5 or 10 minutes. This is not an exaggeration. The pan is almost gone. Okay, so I took a picture of it. And like, I'm asking everyone, what the hell's going on? And you know, whenever you're like really, you know, I guess drunk or like, you know, you just don't know what you're saying. But like, you know, people are coming up to me saying, try it. You have to try it now. You know, I already have like 5 or 6 of them. You got to have more. And I'm convinced that Ray put something in there. So he doesn't want to tell me what he put in there. Okay, he made it seem very simple, but this is usually what happens, right? Whenever you ask someone how to make something that's very unique and tastes good, you know, they don't want to let the recipe out. Okay, fine, whatever. But, you know, it has, you know, I guess it had peanut butter, you know, some sort of peanut butter chips. It had this crazy tasting crust. It had a little bit of jelly in it. And, you know, it's these little squares. Absolutely addicting. Okay, so, you know, shout out to Ray and Diana Coppinger. You have successfully created an amazing bodybuilding torture hit called the Coppinger Crack Cakes. And because I love them so much, they are going on the front of the website so everyone can see them. So that was one of the highlights of the Juan Morel barbecue celebration. Now, the final highlight that I'm going to tell you about, because I did get a text from Jimmy the Bull, he's ready to go, but I am going to leave you with this. Juan Morel has a secret, okay? He has a secret on how to get about 240 grams of protein into your system effortlessly. Probably a little more, probably about like 250 or 260 grams of protein. But I'm going to reveal it to the world because he showed it in front of me. I tried this thing. Juan Morel has created, okay, protein ice cream using Isolize, okay? Dave Palumbo's Isolize. And, you know, he rotates which one he uses. But, you know, let's just talk about the one that he made for me, okay? He made this in front of me. And this is the formula, and this is how you make Juan Morel's high protein ice cream, okay? This was his secret to bulking. I wish I would have been able to take it on camera, but of course we can't do it. Hopefully his current sponsor will do this. And let me tell you, if they do it, it's going to be a huge hit because this is genius. It's absolutely genius. So here we go. This is the recipe for Juan Morel's high protein ice cream. You have to weigh out about 4 ounces of Isolize. It doesn't matter if it's vanilla or chocolate, but he happened to make the vanilla one for me, okay? And Isolize tastes very good. You know, the vanilla is amazing. So, you know, he wants to make a vanilla ice cream. So he uses 4 ounces of Isolize. The next thing he does is he takes 2 very large heaping tablespoons of all natural peanut butter. Now, of course, you know, when I say all natural, I'm talking about the one in particular. It's the Smucker's All Natural. And he used the ones that had the nuts in them. So, you know, you have to make sure it has the nuts in there, okay? 2 large tablespoons of this. He then proceeds to put 1 ounce of almonds, which he tells me that 1 ounce, you know, is actually less than what he originally made because he would normally put 2 ounces of almonds in there. But the reason why he couldn't is because it was negatively affecting his appetite to where he couldn't get down some of his other meals. So he cut it back to 1 ounce. Okay. So he mixes this up. He puts just enough water to make it like a nice kind of almost watery consistency, but just a step above a pudding. Okay, so it has to have a little more than pudding consistency, but it can't be watery. So he freezes this for about, you know, I don't know, maybe it was like a couple of hours. Takes it out, he gives it, you know, he puts it on the counter, and of course the thing is hard like a rock. So you're like, well, ice cream is not supposed to do that. Fine. He puts it in the microwave, and I can't remember how long he had it there. It wasn't long. Maybe it was like, maybe it was 10 seconds, 15 seconds. I don't know. After Juan hears this, maybe he'll send me a message and he'll correct me. But whatever it was, he nukes it in the microwave for about 10 to 15 seconds, hands me a spoon, and he says, eat this. Now, I'm like, there's no way that this thing is going to taste good. You know, I mean, like it looks very strange. All of the almonds were at the bottom. He goes, no, go ahead, mix it up a little bit. So I mixed it up. You know, it's mixing up pretty good. I put 1 tablespoon in my mouth and the thing was absolutely amazing. Okay. He didn't have to add any kind of sweeteners to it because the Isolize is already, you know, pre-sweetened. It has everything you need. And I mean, 120 grams of protein, if not more, because of course the almonds and the peanut butter, tremendous amount of fat. And Juan tells me he has this twice a day. So, and this is in addition to all of his other meals. And, you know, the guy can eat a good 8 or 9 meals a day. So he, God knows how much protein he's getting a day, but this is Juan Morel's secret to bulking. And I'm going to give you the recipe one more time. 4 ounces of Isolize, vanilla or chocolate. He has, he switches up. He has both of them. So he does vanilla and then he does chocolate. So it's 4 ounces of Isolize, 2 large tablespoons of all natural peanut butter. Make sure you get the one with the nuts. 1 to 2 ounces of almonds. Juan Morel prefers 1 ounce. Freeze it for a couple of hours. Heat it up in a few seconds in the microwave. You know, I'm going to take a guess here and say about 10 to 12 seconds. mix it up with a spoon and enjoy it. Because let me tell you something, this is an amazing creation. There's not going to be any excuse for any of you out there to not be able to get the extra protein in. And if you don't like it, you're obviously not a bodybuilder, because bodybuilders crave stuff that tastes even a little bit good and is a little bit nutritious. This is really good. It has all of the macronutrients that you could possibly want. It's carb-free. Okay, and I mean, it's just, it really is unbelievable. I shouldn't lie and say it's carb-free, because the all-natural peanut butter has some carbs in there. But it's virtually carb-free, tremendous amount of protein, high amount of good beneficial fats, essential fats. So try it out, the Wamorel Protein Ice Cream. Avoid the Coppinger crack cakes at all costs, because you will be addicted to them and you will fall off your diet. This is Jeff the Producer, After Hours featuring the Whack Pack. Jimmy the Bull will join us after the next segment. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
This is After Hours with Jeff the Producer. Myotropics Physique Nutrition is the most exciting supplement company to come along in decades. That's because Myotropics isn't just another company. It's the brainchild of iconic metabolic expert Dr. Scott Connolly, the inventor of the original body recomposition product that changed the industry and allowed millions of people to get in the best shape of their life. And CEO Vince Andrich, author of the groundbreaking Physique Athlete Guide. Myotropics' flagship product, Physique 2.0, contains their exclusive Meta Effects Amino CD protein compound that maximizes whole body protein economy, your personal linchpin for gaining and retaining the most muscle while also shedding maximum body fat. Plus, Physique 2.0 contains the world's first legitimate fat-burning carbohydrate, Meta Effects FAO-CHO, for full hard muscle and increased fat burn. If you live to develop the ultimate physique, go with Myotropics, real people that live to develop physique nutrition. Go to myotropics.com. It's your body. It's your art. Master it. Myotropics.com. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at general nutrition centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostate RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements. Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop, and also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
RxMuscle.com. You know, when Jimmy was a baby and I would change his diaper, I used to kiss his little winky.
Hey, kids, what time is it?
Pump up the volume.
Welcome back to After Hours with the Whack Pack. This is Jeff, the producer, filling in for Dave Palumbo, who is currently at the 2012 NPC Masters Nationals in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with Sally Ann Taylor and the rest of the RX Muscle crew. Once again, we are left behind, as always, and I was actually left behind in the last segment. We had Pete the intern start off the show, then I did a little solo segment, and as promised, we have Jimmy the Iron Bull Pelletier. And let me tell you, folks, not only is Jimmy live, but he's live using brand new technology. He is actually on location in his house. Jimmy the Bull, how's it going?
What's happening, Jeff? Yeah, I kind of like this, man. You know, I'm leaning back on the couch, got my feet up, man, sucking on a beer. I kind of like it.
Yeah. Now, when we were like... Yeah, you see, you know, you have your own personal little mood setting, right? You can do whatever you want right now.
You know, when I get home, the first thing I do is I get naked, you know, and I crack a beer, I shut all the lights, and I lay on the couch, I stretch out. So that's what I'm doing right now.
You see, it's a beautiful thing when you can relax and also do a radio show, right?
I love it, man. Man, laying on the couch, drinking my fucking beer.
I've been trying to get you to do this for weeks, Jimmy.
You should have told me. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I would have did this weeks ago.
I was trying to tell you how beautiful it was going to be, but listen, at least we finally got to this point. Now, I've been trying to contact you for the last couple of days, and I knew what the problem was, okay? I knew about one situation. I knew that the union had you working like crazy because the last show that we did with the India studio, I know that they were calling you off the hook. They were talking to you about some guy you wanted to set his car on fire or some shit, and they were like basically monitoring your every move, trying to find out where the hell you were, what you were doing. You know, you can't even get Thursdays off anymore because they got you overworked. But from what I understand, you also have some other crap going on, which is really stressing you out. Why don't you tell me, you know, tell me and tell everyone else what the hell's going on with your life?
Well, like I told you a couple weeks ago, you know, I got another house. I had to move because my current location, I have to go. So I found another house. And really nice landlord. I'm renting this house, you know, of course, a three-bedroom ranch, really nice. But, you know, I'm juggling my job. I'm doing floors. I'm running around rescuing ankles. We're filming the reality show right now with that. So I'm doing all that. And I'm in the new house, and I'm painting over there. Cause I had two painters that I had scheduled for this week. And the first guy came. I scheduled for Monday. And Monday came, the fucking guy didn't show up. So I call him up. I said, "Well, you know, where the fuck are you? I'm sorry. I got jammed up. I'm going to come Tuesday." I said, "You better come fucking Tuesday because I got to move in this weekend, man. Don't fuck around." "No, Jimmy, I swear. I'll be there Tuesday." Tuesday comes. Guess what? No fucking paint. I'm calling him. No answer. Now I get this guy, Freddie, who works with me sometimes. I don't know. A little bit of a crackhead, but not a bad guy, right? I says, "Freddie, can you paint this fucking house?" "Oh, yeah, man. I can do it, man. I can do it." I said, "All right, let's start fucking Wednesday, man. Please, I got to get in this weekend. I want to paint all the rooms, the hallway, the living room, dining room, you know. And the whole house is white. It's like a fucking institute. I need some color on the walls." "Okay, yeah, no problem." So fucking Wednesday comes. Where is he? He's not there. I'm calling. Only he calls me at 2 o'clock. "Yo, bro, I just got pulled over by the train station, man. The cops got me, man. They get me for aggravated unlicensed driver." I says, "Freddie, I understand the cops pulled you over and they got you for aggravated unlicensed driver, but it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Where the fuck were you from 8 to 2? I don't understand. I understand you called me 2 in the afternoon. But where the fuck were you a fucking morning, Freddie?" "Oh, you know, my mother needed the car. I had to drop her off at hard. I said, look, I didn't want to fucking hear it. I said, well, you're going to get, what's going on? You done with the cops over there? No, man, they got me right now. I said, all right, call me when you're done with the fucking cops. All right? Never fucking, guy calls me fucking 8 o'clock at night. Yo, you never, man, you know, they took me in, they arrested me, you know, and they let me out, man. I says, they let you out. Okay, good. I says, so can you work fucking Thursday now? Yeah, I'll be there. I said, okay. Meet him at the fucking house. I let him in. He comes finally, right?
He actually showed up.
Actually shows up. I says, Freddie, I need this room painted. I says, oh, you know, the living room, dining room, the den, at least. I said, I lost a few days. Please. Oh, I'll knock this right out, bro. I said, okay, good. So I left because I had to go to work, you know? So he calls me at fucking 2 in the afternoon. I don't know what it is about 2 in the afternoon with this fucking guy. He calls me 2 in the afternoon. Yo, Jimmy, I'm going to leave now. I said, what do you mean you're going to leave? Now, I'm in the airport working with the truck. What do you mean you're going to leave? It's 2 o'clock, right? Yeah, you never believe it, man. I was painting the ceiling, and this fucking bumblebee flew in the window, man. And the motherfucker was swatting him and shit. And he went down to my back of my shirt, bro. And he stung me, man. He stung me. I said, stung you? I said, so what does this mean, Freddie? What happened? You fell off the fucking ladder? You hit your head? What happened? You broke your leg? No, man. I just got to go home. I gotta have my mother, you know, look at it.
My mother?
Yeah.
He lives with his mother. How old is this guy?
45.
Oh, I said, God.
I said, you got to go home. Your mother's got to look at the B-bike, Freddie. Yeah, I'll be back, man. I'll be back. I, you know, at this point, I was like, all right, Freddie, go ahead. Go home. You know, check out the B-bike. Go ahead, please.
You're too nice, Jimmy. Way too nice, man.
Yeah, so he goes home, and he never comes back, right? That night, fucking rain like monsoons, right?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Fucking rain like fucking, look like fucking the Ten Commandments, look fucking like the end of the fucking world. That's how fucking hard it was raining, right? Thunder, lightning, wind, right?
Yeah, it was bad. It was real bad. So
I go to my house when I get home, when I get off work, we're getting up really early in the morning, and it's still piss raining out. And I go in the house, and he took the fucking shades, the blinds off my windows, and he put them all out in the patio.
Oh, man. In the rain?
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. And then all my windows, I got these huge Anderson windows, man. He's got all the screens out. Windows are wide open. All the wind and rain is blowing in my fucking house.
Oh, man.
Fucking wet walls, floor, fucking shit all over my fucking blinds on the fucking patio. So, and then on top of that, I look at the house. I said, well, you know, now that the house is all soaked wet and my fucking blinds are on the goddamn patio, let me see what kind of work this motherfucker did, right? And I'm looking at the window. He did one window frame. One, he painted one fucking window frame. I said, this motherfucker was here all day fucking fighting bees and shit, and he's one window, one fucking window. So I fucking call him up in the morning. Call him. He's not answering. Call him. You know, finally calls me fucking 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yo, what is with 2 o'clock in the afternoon with this guy? It's funny.
No, it wasn't even, I'm sorry, it wasn't even, he called me the next day. At 2 in the afternoon.
The next day. So this is the third day now.
Yeah. So now I lost the whole entire fucking week. I was supposed to move in the weekend. Meanwhile, I sanded all the floors. I coated them. But I was saving the last coat till after the paint was done. But now I can't put the last coat down because the paint ain't done. You know, I got all my shit packed in this house. I'm fucking wiping my ass and finding toilet paper and boxes. Everything's packed. My socks, my fucking underwear, right? So now I'm all fucked up. I'm all over the place, right? Plus I'm working, you know, trying to make everything fucking work out. So finally calls me on a Saturday. Now, I hired a new guy, this guy Frank. He came recommended from a friend of mine. I talked to him on Friday. He met me at the house. At this point, Freddie was MIA. So this guy Frank comes over. I said, Frank, can you do the fucking house? He goes, well, I do this shit for a living, man. I'm good. You know, I'm fast. I get my guys in here. Man, we're knocking
already,
this shit.
Already it sounds fucked up.
Yeah. Saturday, Sunday, man. We're coming here. My guys will knock this shit out. I'll fix those fucking holes. I'll fucking whip it up. I'll get this shit done. I said, really? I'll come on, my guys. Don't worry, Jimmy. You're a good guy. You know, I know you, you know, you came recommended for my friend. I said, look, Frank, just please. I got to get in this weekend. Can you get it done Saturday, Sunday? well, you left me a small window, but I, you know, I think I could do it. I'll come with my guys, you know. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? He says, call me tonight, and I'll send Pedro over here tomorrow.
Oh, boy, Pedro.
I said, Pedro, one guy? Yeah, one guy. He just told me you're going to come here with your guys. It was plural. Now he's telling me one guy. He goes, oh, this guy's good, man. He'll knock out three bedrooms one day. I said, hey, and he'll work Saturday. Yeah, you know, Bob, yeah. Call me tonight. All right, Frank. He leaves. So now I'm in there moving boxes. Now, you know, meanwhile, my landlord was there earlier, my new landlord, you know, and I had landscapers come because this guy lives like a fucking rat. So I had landscapers come, clean all the fucking beds, cut fucking trees down because this guy had.
Hold on. Wait. He lives like a rat. So you were like telling me something earlier about some of the crap that he left in the apartment.
Well, it's really like a weird. This guy lives in California. He's an Arab. You know?
Okay.
So he lives in California. His father's 97 years old, so he's out there with his old man. He's got like a little small fucking room downstairs, right? Like
gotcha.
He lives like a cockroach. In the fucking I don't know how he can find his bed. The guy's he's a sculptor. He's an artist. So he's a fucking clusterfuck. He's a hoarder. You know, everything is just shit all over the fucking place, right? And I thought when I was gonna move in, all the shit was gonna be out of there. He's got all shit in the garage. He's got National Geographic magazines from fucking day one. He's got 1,000 of them fucking all over the shelves. I says, Mark, what are you going to do with these fucking magazines? Oh, I saved them from year one. I can see it. And I said, what do you got every year here from the beginning, from day one? You got fucking 1,000 of them. He goes, I collect them. They're worth a little money now. I said, Jesus Christ. I said, listen, I can't have this shit in the garage, man. I said, you got all kinds of fucking skulls and
wait, hold on, Jimmy, let me ask you a question. So part of the deal of you getting to live in this place was full use of the garage, correct?
Yeah.
And he basically decided he's gonna leave all of his National Geographic shit in there while you're trying to move in?
Oh, he's got National Geographic, he's got all kind of Arab, you know, books and fucking dictionary, everything's in fucking Arabic, you know. The whole garage, he's got cabinets filled with shit, fucking all this.
So wait a minute, what did he expect you to do with this stuff? Did he expect you to take it out yourself?
I said, Mark, I got to get this shit. I said, I need the garage. I said, look, I'm going to bag and box all your shit and put it downstairs in your storage room, Daddy. Okay, yeah. What are you doing? You do what you got to do. I said, yeah, I got to do it. You know, I got to get rid of it, you know? So now I'm waiting for Frank to call him. No, I'm still going to call Frank tonight, right?
This is absolutely insane to me. So basically, you go to rent this new apartment, right? And the landlord leaves all of his shit there, and you decide to come up with like a really good plan on how to get all of his stuff out of there. And he just kind of says, yeah, okay, like good idea. Like he didn't come back and offer you to say, oh, well, you know, since like you're doing this work, I'll give you a couple of weeks back rent. He didn't offer you nothing in return. He just said, go ahead and move my shit.
No.
Wow.
But he was supposed to leave. He came out here, you know, to make the deal with me. I had to give him fucking like $8,000, you know, to sign the
$8,000.
Yeah, I had to give the cunt realtor a fucking huck cut.
Oh, you went it through the realtor. Okay, gotcha.
2 months security.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, yeah, it's rough.
And the fucking realtor bitch, we didn't do anything. I found the fucking house and I had to call her because her fucking cocksucking name was stuck on the fucking thing. So I had to fucking call the bitch. I did all the negotiating with the fucking landlord. She just stood there and did nothing. Out of hand, that bitch fucking $1,200.
Well, right? How come he just didn't, you know, just didn't work out a deal and say, look, I don't want to sell anymore, and then wait like a month and then work out a deal with you?
I don't know. So it was all fucked up. So anyway, he supposedly he only comes every couple of years. Now he's telling me he's going to come 3 times a year. And if he comes, he's going to pay a third of the fucking utilities.
I really gotta freaking understand this. So did you rent the entire house or did you just rent a portion of it? Because it sounds like he's gonna be a live-in landlord.
No, I rented the entire fucking house. Okay,
so where the hell is he gonna stay?
He's in the fucking basement, bro, like a rat. He's got a little fucking thing framed out in the back court. He's got a little sink there, a bed with all fucking statues.
This is crazy. This is insane to me. So basically the landlord first told you that he was barely going to be there. And you're like, you know what? Fine, whatever. It's the landlord. You know, it's kind of weird, but I'll arrange it.
The realtor told me, don't worry. The last time he was here was 3 years ago. I said, oh, now I'm talking to this motherfucker. This is after I signed the fucking lease. He's telling me, and he comes at least three times a year. And he's leaving in a few days, and his wife is coming next month.
His wife also?
Yeah, I says, yo, Mark, man, like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. He goes, I call you when I come.
I call you, my friend. Don't worry.
Yeah, give me a call when you come. That's great. I feel better.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm coming this weekend with my wife. We're going to be downstairs.
And I come, and we come, yeah. So now this motherfucker's got sculptors all over the fuck. He's got this giant clam in the backyard, this giant fucking clam, right? I says, Mark, what am I supposed to do with that? Oh, this is very rare. He goes, don't throw it out. He goes, this is a giant clam. And he takes me over to the corner of the property, and he's digging the bushes out because he's buried in the bushes. And he's pushing the bushes apart like we're in Vietnam. And he goes, look, there's the clam in there. I says, oh, yeah, I can see it, Mark. Nice clam. You know, what the fuck am I going to do with that? You know, then he's got another clam on the other side that he made he made a fucking copy of it. So he's got, you know, and it's broken and whatever. So now he's got sculptors all on the side of the fucking house, too. He's got naked women, guys, cocks, you know, like these some bitch with a dog. So he's got them all on the side of the house. Oh, I says, Mark, I got landscapers coming. I got to clean this shit up, man. I can't have all this shit on the fucking side of the house.
I mean, especially if you're paying for it, like, you know, he needs to throw you a bone here and, like, you know, say, you know what, since you didn't think that this was going to be included in the deal, I'll give you back some money, or, like, you know, I won't take as much, even though, you know, we worked out on the lease. But this is crazy to me right now. This is beyond anything. So, like, all right, fine. Basically he has this clam in the back, and now you already arranged for the landscapers to come. So what happened next?
I'm cutting down all the trees, too. He's got one tree that's against the deck in the back. It's pushing the fucking railing over. I says, Mark, look at the fucking railing. It's busted in half. The tree is growing. It's crushing the deck. I know. Look at the flowers.
Yeah, you see, to him, that's like God giving him a sign that, like, you know, what he's doing is good. Because obviously the tree is in love with the deck or something like that, right? Some weird eclectic shit.
This tree makes beautiful pink flowers, you know. And I says, yeah, I understand it's making pink flowers, but look at your deck. The fucking thing is crushing. The deck has been growing here for 20 years. The tree's got to come down. You're not going to have a deck left, Mark. Yeah, he goes, yeah, it is crushing the deck a little bit. I says, a little bit? You know, the whole fucking railing is bent over. I says, the bush, it's got to go, Mark. I got to cut it. Oh, all right, he goes, you could cut it. I says, yeah. Gotta cut it, man.
Yeah, see, that was like cutting a limb off of him. Like, you know, that was like a tree that he grew up with, and now you're taking it away from him.
The fucking hoarder. He don't want to get rid of none, so it was killing him. So finally he says, cut the tree. I said, I gotta cut this tree, that tree, that tree.
Yeah, you end up spending a lot of money just on the maintenance to, like, you know, make this place livable. That's insane, man.
For the landscape, it cost me $1,000. I didn't even finish yet, right? So I'm cutting down fucking trees all over. He's got bushes in the front of the house that are fucking dead. I says, Mark, what are you going to do with these dead bushes? They're dead. I know. He goes, what do you want to do? I said, I'm going to take them out. That's what I'm going to fucking do. I'm going to fucking leave dead bushes in front of the house. They're fucking dead. They look horrible. And all the flower beds are all full of shit and crap and fucking leaves. Oh, all right. Take them out. I said, yeah, I got to take them out. So I'm fucking having the landscape taking out all the fucking trees and shit, you know. Now, on the side of the house, I didn't finish. He's got all those fucking sculptures, right? So I'm on the side of the house. I said, Mark, what do you want to do with these fucking statues, man? I can't look at all this crap on the side of the house.
Right.
Well, you know, I said, what about this girl over here with the one tit? What do you want to do with her? You know, he goes, I made that in 1969. That was one of my first sculptures. I said, I understand, Mark. You know, but 1969, bro. This is 2012. The fucking thing. How long has it been on the side of the house? Probably seen 9 winters already. I got to throw it out. I said, what do you want to do with the guy with the half an ass? What are you going to do with that thing? I made that in college. That, you know, I said, I understand you made it in college, but look at it. It's all cracked. It's weather beaten. The guy's missing half his cheek. It's fucking garbage, Mark. I said, I got to throw this out. What do you want to do with that head? Hey, I made that head in California. They have a copy of it in the Museum of Natural and Music. I said, look, Mark, with all due respect, I got to get these statues out of here. I said, tell me what you want. I'll stick it down in the storeroom in your basement. I got to clean this fucking shit up. I can't look at it. All right. Well, you do it. I says, yeah, I'm going to do it. All right.
Wow.
I says, what do you want to do with this shed on the side of the house? He's got a shed. in the fucking driveway, right up against the fucking house.
And a shed in the driveway.
The door, it's in the driveway. He's got this wooden fucking shed. Looks like he built it himself, right?
Well, that's probably where he kept all of his sculpting materials, right?
Yeah, he's got all his tools in there, all his, you know, all whatever. I mean,
yeah,
the place is a fucking mess, right? So I said, what are you going to do with this shed, Mark? Oh, he goes, I have my things. I said, let me see. He can't even get the door open, Jeff. The fucking door coming on the fucking driveway. He barely gets the door open. He goes, I clean it out. I said, you're going to clean it? I said, this place is a mess, Mark. Look at it. There's shit all over the fucking place. I can't even identify what the fuck is in here. I clean it. So I said, all right, you clean it. So for the past couple of days, he's been cleaning it. He's been taking shit out of the shed and laying it on a driveway. And now he finally left to go back to California. And guess what? He left.
You're the one that has to clean it.
Shit on the fucking driveway with the door.
You see,
open.
That's not right.
Yeah.
That's
all
not
the
right.
Shit. He took all the shit out of the shed and he was going through it on a driveway, whatever the fuck he was doing. And he left everything on the fucking driveway. It looked like a shithole.
Jimmy, let me ask you a question. So when you signed the lease, right? When was your move-in date supposed to be?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so basically you signed the lease and the landlord still has shit on property that you signed the lease for. And not only does he not clean out the stuff, but you agree to take care of all this landscaping crap that he should have taken care of before he even put the house up for rent. Yeah, for rent, first of all. Second of all, he has all of his sculpting materials on like the side of the house, and you agree to help him move, you know, to move it yourself downstairs. You know, the half an ass and the half a tit, right?
Yeah, because the guy, he's not going to do it, Jeff.
Yeah, no. Right. I completely understand that.
What this guy's all about.
Sure. And then, you know, the final blow is that you basically tell him, look, okay, why don't you look through the shed? You gave him a couple of days to do it, and he basically leaves you with a driveway that you can't use because he put all of his shit out there in front of it. So now, you know, obviously when he's talking to you about, you know, I'm only going to be here like three times out of the year, you know, you realize that you're fucked because all this stuff is going to come back to haunt you because he's going to be living downstairs and who knows, like, you know, what problems are going to arise from you just being a normal human being trying to live and him wanting to be able to come outside and do his sculpting, him wanting to come outside and, oh, do you mind if I use this shed? I have to make the other half of the ass, you know, and put it on now. Or like, you know, maybe he's going to donate a couple of his pieces and, you know, there are going to be problems. You realize this.
I got news for you. There's going to be problems. You know why?
Why?
I told my landscaper to come back and I'm tearing the shed down. I'm tearing it down. I'm getting the fuck out of there. Right?
He's going to come back. No shed.
I'm tearing it down. It's a fucking, I think rats live in there, man. It's fucking disgusting. It's rotten. The doors don't open. It's slammed up against the house. He's got all shit shoved in between the house and the shed. It's all stuffed in there. The house can't even breathe. It's disgusting. Plus, it's part of the driveway. I can actually park my work van on the side of the house. That fucking shed is taking up all that driveway.
Wow.
And there's nothing but garbage inside that fucking thing.
Yeah, sure, right, because he, you know, he packed all of his stuff from like way back. So he's got little jars.
He's got some shift table in there with brushes laying around and those clay knives and like just all this.
Right, he's a typical artist who, you know, basically has to have all of his materials. Otherwise, you know, if he doesn't have, you know, like the stuff that he acquired over the years, he can't, you know, be like creative. But all right, so now I see this guy coming back. And like I see him wanting to continue to like do stuff like this, and I see him, you know, like let's say he sees like some abandoned, you know, table in like the middle of the street. I could totally see this type of person coming in, and one day when you're trying to pull your truck in or like your van or whatever, he's gonna be out there and then telling you, oh, just give me like 20 minutes, I would have it out of your way, and he will move it to the side in like a spot where you normally take care of other business. I know that there's gonna be some amazing stories come out of this because this is not gonna be happy. I just foresee all types of problems.
I like the house because it's on top of a hill, it's very sunny, it's a 3-bedroom ranch, it's a beautiful, sure, beautiful house. But this guy hasn't done anything to this house probably since 1965.
He let it rot.
Yeah, he let it run down. I got fucking plants growing out of the gutters. I got the landscapers got to come and clean all the fucking gutters, all right? The right side of the house, he let ivy grow all up the fucking building. So it's all on, you know. So I got to have the landscapers got to tear all that fucking ivy up the building, all right? He's got a little fence to the right and left of the house. It's all rotten. The fucking gates don't even work. I got to tear them down. I got to put PVC fence because that's what the neighbors have. And I want to put the same fence to match their fences.
Right.
So it fucking looks nice.
Sure.
Now, while I'm doing all this work, the fucking neighbors are coming over to me. All the neighbors, the ones on both sides of my house, the ones across the street, they're coming over there, introducing themselves. And they're saying, Jimmy, we want to thank you so much for what you're doing. I said, yeah, I'm not kidding. I said, what am I doing? They says, you're cleaning this house up. We've been dying for this guy to do this for years. The guy lived there for 30 years. He didn't do shit. I says, really? He says, we love you, man. You're doing landscaping. I'm painting the whole fucking house. I sanded all the fucking floors of polyurethane. He's got a deck in the back. Next week, me and my guys, we're going to sand the deck down and stain it. I'm going to fucking take care of the whole deck. You know, now, granted, I do rent it, but, you know, Jeff, I live a certain way, man, and I can't be in a fucking home that I feel like I'm fucking smoking a crack pipe. I have to live a certain way, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, some of the stuff that you said is completely uncalled for, because how can you possibly put up any kind of house for rent if, you know, the part that you're renting and the stuff that you're including in that lease is not even properly maintained? And, you know, I can understand if it was already part of the agreement for you to do certain things, fine. But it's obvious from the conversation that you're having with the guy that he just thought that you would be okay with him having his gigantic clam out there and, you know, having his shit blocking the driveway. It's like obvious that, you know, to me at least, that this is not a person who held a typical job. Like, it sounds like that he's lived the life of like an artist, and like, especially since the realtor was saying something about how, you know, he doesn't really come to the house much. I mean, I can see him escaping and going to like California for like a year or two and then coming back and then like doing all of his sculpting stuff, because he's one of those guys who's basically stuck in the 60s, I guess, you know, the 60s and 70s, and he's one of these guys who needs to live that way. You know, you're like the type of guy, you know, you're like, look, I like my house a certain way. I'm working, and I want to be able to, you know, adhere to the ordinances of like the town. He's like, I'm an artist, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. But, you know, that's just uncalled for, you know, the certain things that he's putting you through. But obviously you're making some new friends, so maybe it won't turn out as bad. But I know for a fact that Mark is going to give you a lot more new Jimmy Pileggi stories that is going to come out in the next few weeks. I know it.
I know. When I tear his shed down, I know I'm gonna have some, you know.
We should actually videotape that. We should get Pete over there to videotape you tearing down the shed.
Yeah, we should, because he's not gonna be happy with that. You know what I mean? But you know, whatever.
Let me ask you a question. These sculptings were like, you know, the half an ass and the half a breast and all that stuff. Are they still like, you know, could we go over to your house and like film them and like, you know, let people see what these things look like?
Oh, absolutely. It's still all over here. I got fucking pillars in the backyard. I got a giant clams. I got fucking, my cousin was over today. I took him on the side of the house. He goes, yo, man, he goes, this girl's got nice tits. I said, Robin, they're statues. I want to get rid of them. I only look at the fucking broad's tits. You know, and meanwhile, my neighbor's window's open. I'm going, keep it quiet, man. I'm fucking saying the broad's got nice tits. What's wrong with you, man? So then he had, there was like a skull on the floor, so my cousin kicked it like a fucking soccer ball. So I'm like, man, don't kick it. It's the guy's shit. Come on, man. You know, I was like, oh.
See, yeah, that's really interesting. It's like, you know, people have to understand that, like, although you go through all of this crazy stuff, like, you still have, you know, like a semblance of what it means to be civilized. Yeah. And like, I think that sometimes you're like so wild and like out of control with, you know, with some of the stories you're saying. A guy like Mark is actually pretty fucked up when you compare him to you.
Oh, yeah. You know, I felt bad because, you know, my neighbor has got a totally fucking minted out house, right? I mean, his grass is perfect. His, you know, he's one of those people. The fence is beautiful. You know, he's got a brick driveway. You know, yeah. So anyway, I was on the side of the house. The window was open because, you know, it's summertime. You know, and I'm telling my cousin goes, "What are you going to do with all this shit?" I said, "Look at this crowd. He's got fucking women. He's got twats. He's got cunts. He's got cocks." Right. And then I realized the fucking window. My neighbor's house is very close. The window is wide. I go, oh my God. Meanwhile, everybody pulled up on bikes, you know, at my house today, right? All my friends, all the fucking Hollies. So I'm like, oh my God, they're probably thinking, you know, what fucker moved in, you know?
But, yeah, but you know what? I think that they would, you know, that they would rather welcome someone like you who's going to have these Harleys and everything else pull up, but you're going to do it at like a sane hour because, you know, I know this about you also. You're very respectful of other people's space and property. And, you know, that's like something that I really like about you. And, you know, obviously, even in how you're describing, you know, why you want to take the PVC fence because you want it to match. Like you're like very conscious of like other people because you want to be able to do what you do and be left alone. But at the same time, you're willing to play by the rules. But while you're playing by the rules, you want to be able to do what the fuck you want. So I think that, you know, I think that the neighbors are going to love you. They'll probably hire you for like some sort of neighborhood watch.
Oh, definitely, man. I mean, so, like I said, I'm going to match the fence because on both sides of the house, my neighbors have a beautiful PVC fence, you know.
Right.
So I figured, you know, on each side of my house is really not that wide. It's not going to be very expensive for me to, you know, put a piece of that PVC, you know, that PVC fence on both sides to match it. It's not going to cost me a fortune, you know. I'm going to trash the fucking shed. I mean, this shit's still going on. If you want to get over there with the fucking video camera, I mean, we got to have a ball with his fucking statues on the side of the fucking house, man. He's got paintings downstairs. He asked me if I want to hang some of the paintings on the wall of my house. I said, no, Mark, I'm good, man. He goes, you're welcome to this painting. I said, no, I'm good.
Well, he's been trying to get rid of it since 1969, you said, so whatever.
I mean, he's a nice guy and everything, but, you know, it's funny because there's one statue that he kept going back to. And he kept showing me this one statue, and I said, you know, fuck, it kind of looks like a fucking Iranian woman, like, you know, by the well, you know, in Iran or something, or Iraq, you know? And he goes, you were very perceptive. He goes, that's exactly what it is. It's an Iranian woman. She's holding a water jug, you know, on her, I says, yeah. I says, that's what it looks like. Because you can talk. And then he's got a piano. Move his piano into the fucking garage because I got my piano, you know. So I moved his piano into the garage. So,
oh well, maybe you two can write a song. I mean, you know, obviously he's musically inclined too. If he has a piano, unless he uses that as motivation for his sculpting and shit.
He bought the piano for his son. His son never played it.
Oh, forget anyway, it. Forget it.
Yeah. I says, Mark, I got a piano too. You know, I says I want to move it in here. He goes, oh, you play piano? I says, yeah. So I moved it in the garage, and then I sat down. I started playing piano for him, you know. And he's walking around the front yard, and he's waving his hands like a conductor, you know, and he's listening to me, right? You know? And then when I was done, he was applauding me in the front lawn, you know.
Oh, well, good. So maybe, you know, he could be your audience whenever you come up with your masterpieces and your songs and stuff, so.
You know, he's a really sweetheart guy. I mean, you know, he was telling me, I'm so happy I met you, Jimmy. He goes, I feel good. I said, of course you feel good. I painted all your walls. I'm cleaning your gut. I did landscaping. I fucking finished all your fucking floors. I cleaned out your garage. I said, you know, of course you
put up a new fence.
Jeez, I put fences up.
You know. Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. You know. I'd be a best friend too if you came to my house after I just made you pay for it. And plus, you're paying me, so it's beautiful. You know. You're gonna end up making this fucking house so good that he's not gonna renew your lease. That's what's gonna happen. He's gonna move back in. Oh, thank you, Mr. Jimmy. Fuck you. Now get out.
Well, the scary thing is that this is the situation.
Oh no!
I signed a 1-year lease.
Oh, right? You see, I knew it. It's over.
And his father, he said the only reason why he's in California is his father's 97 years old. So I said, oh, I said, that's, you know, that's nice of you. You know, you're out there with your father taking care of him. I said, yeah, he goes, he doesn't have long to live, you know. That's the reason why I'm out there. I says, oh, okay. So I'm saying to myself, geez, I just signed a 1-year lease. I totally renovated this motherfucker's house. This old man's going to kick the bucket the next couple of, you know, probably the next year. He's 97 now.
He's going to move right back into a brand new Pelletier enhanced fucking house.
Then he told me that he called up his wife when I was doing all the work, and she started to cry on the phone because she heard me, you know, doing all the work to the house and revamping the house, that she wants to come out next month in August. House. But she's,
it's going
to
be bad.
It's going to be bad, Jeff.
It's going to be real bad, Jimmy. I can feel it, man. Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you.
I got a feeling that I'm going to get kicked right in the fucking ass with this whole thing, man.
It's going to be exactly a year later, and we're going to be talking about the new house you're moving into, Jimmy. But that is unbelievable.
I just got a really strange feeling when he was telling me all this. So now,
of course,
while this is all going on, Frank, the painter, I call him Friday night from work, and I says, Frank, you told me to call you. Is fucking Pietro coming fucking Saturday? Nope. Whatever the fuck his name is. He says, yeah. He says, yeah. He goes, but I got to tell you something, Jim. I says, what? He don't work Sundays. I says, he don't work Sundays. I says, you're sending me one guy Saturday. Now you tell me the motherfucker don't work on Sunday.
So I remember you saying earlier, you specifically asked, the guy works weekends? And you said, yeah, he works Saturday and Sunday. I heard you
he
say
told
that.
Me Saturday, Sunday. The motherfucker told me he's going to come in there, bang it out, Saturday, Sunday. Now he's telling me the cocksucker don't work fucking Sundays. He don't want to work Sundays for $150 a day.
That's well, you know, he maybe has to go to church.
Well, I understand that, but he told me in the beginning that the guy works Saturday and Sunday, and he even works night. Now you're telling me the guy always he don't work on fucking Sundays, right? So I lost it, and I said, look, Frank, forget it. Don't even come. Please. It's Friday already. I lost a whole fucking week where people screw me in the ass with a paintbrush. I'm fucking done. That don't even come. No, he goes, look, Jimmy, just do this, man. Just move everything in, and my guys will come next Saturday, and we'll paint right around your furniture, like. I said, listen, Frank, I appreciate, you know, your aggressiveness to do my house, but I can't fucking wait till next Saturday. I got to paint shit now, you know?
I agree.
That was it. I told him, forget it. I said, yeah, I'll call you. I hung up. And now I was in there today painting the fucking house. And thank God I had one of my friends, two of my friends that, one of my friends, I sanded his deck last year because him and his wife split up, whatever. They're kind of like on the outs, but they're kind of getting together. Whatever. So he's got two cute girls, you know, and I know this girl very well too. So her deck was fucked up like mine at my house now. So we'll split it and shit. So she asked me if I would do it. So I says, don't worry, Carl, I'll do the deck. So I went over there and I sanded her entire deck on the hottest day of the fucking year. I almost passed out, you know, and I fucking put a stain on it. It took me all day. I didn't charge her a dime. I just wanted to do it for her and her children, right? So Eddie, the husband, was trying to get back with her. He heard that we're painting, so he came over today. And he said, Jimmy, you help my wife with the kids. He goes, I want to help you with the painting.
Oh, that's great. I said, paid you back.
I said, you should. Yeah. And he goes, yeah. So then, and then we hired this other guy. This guy Wade is a waiter. You know, he's done some painting here and there on the side. You know, he was like, so we got him in there. So those two guys are helping me today with painting.
Good. Good. You see, and like, you know, this is, I'm glad you told, you know, all these stories, especially about, you know, about your new landlord. But, you know, to be serious for a minute, this is why, guys, that, you know, whenever Jimmy doesn't show up, it's not because he doesn't want to come. I mean, this guy busts his balls. Like, he's, you know, he's out there trying to like find people to like help him out. And, you know, he's getting screwed. He's a really great guy trying to revamp this poor landlord's house, who I know is going to screw him next year, because it's, you know, it's just in Jimmy's destiny to like have this happen. But this is why certain shows can't be done with the bull. And I'm attempting to try to make life easier. But you know what? I'm not going to go crazy if like one day I call him and he's like, Jeff, look, I'm on the floor. I'm like sanding this guy's deck. You know, I got to paint this. I got to do that. It's 100% accurate. As a matter of fact, we are going to get footage of these sculptures, because I think everyone, especially after this conversation, is definitely going to want to hear it. But, you know, we're going to get Pete the intern on that, Jimmy, definitely soon. I'm going to talk to him. You know, Pete actually started off the show with me, and like I said, he had to go to Jersey taking care of something out there. And, you know, I think that we ended up having a great show. I'm really glad that you were able to spend actually a long time with me tonight. I'm going to try to do more of these with just us, because I think people are asking for a lot more Jimmy the Bull. The responses on the forum threads have been incredible. You know, I know that you check in there every now and then. I'm going to get you to post more because people are asking, where the hell is Jimmy the Bull? So, you know, we got to get you posting on those forums. But we are out of time for After Hours now. This has been After Hours on RXMuscle.com with Jimmy the Iron Painting Sculpting Bull Pelletier and Jeff the Producer, as well as Pete the Intern. We will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to After Hours exclusively on RXMuscle.com with your host, Jeff the Producer. Be sure to visit RXMuscle.com for all of our great radio programming.